Hello, and welcome to the Ann Levine Show. It's Tuesday, August 4th. It's 2020, I'm sorry to say. And we are joined, of course, by Michael.
Hello.
Levine.
Hello.
Who is regaling us with hot, hot, hot.
Well, because it is, right? I mean, it's literal. It's
yeah,
hot.
It is literal. I'm enjoying the literally, the literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's...
Literally?
Literally?
Yeah, yeah. Enjoying the literacy literally?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the heat. I'm enjoying the summer. I am absolutely horrified that it's August 4th.
Yeah.
And that...
ripping right along here.
Yeah, I don't... That's absolutely not okay. And I don't know to whom I should address my complaint letter.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. Things are a little mixed up right now. You don't really know where to send things. Right?
That is so true.
Yeah.
Don't know where to send things.
No.
We had a cute phone call earlier in the day from our friends in Paris, Jean-Dominique and Denise.
Denise, yes.
They live right outside of Paris, just over that little bridge at the Pont Neuilly. Anyway.
Sounds fabulous, really. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think that would be a great place to be, don't you?
Nanterre.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know why not.
Yeah,
I guess it would be. They've got a really, really odd law that they've instated now, COVID law, which is that you have to wear a mask on large avenues. And
okay.
Crowded streets. So, in other words, you must wear a mask on the Champs-Élysées.
Right. Okay. Yep.
But if you turn off onto a side street,
yeah,
you don't have to have one on.
Well, I mean, I guess they're just assuming that there's going to be more people on that, you know, on the Champs-Élysées, right, than on the side streets.
Yes, but can you imagine in New York if they said... Okay, on the avenues.
Right, yeah.
Mask on, but then when...
Right, on the streets? No.
It's yeah. Just, I mean, Jean-Dominique was complaining, as I feel I'm close to doing, about the insanity of this and how you're constantly mask up, mask down, mask up, mask down. It's the mask debate.
Right. Yeah, we're mask debaters.
Which John Oliver was wonderful to do a montage of reporters all over the country saying mask debate.
Right, yeah.
And we all know how that comes out.
Right, yeah. Pretty funny.
Boy, Baruch Hashem.
It's one of those funny things. It sounds like something that it isn't, you know. So it's kind of funny.
Yeah, what could that be? He told us two jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this friend of mine is a little peculiar.
Uh-huh, okay.
He's very French. And if you're not sure what that means, I don't know what to tell you, but he's very, very French.
Yeah.
And his sensibilities... His sense of humor, his sense of everything is just 100% French. And he told two jokes today on the phone. And he wanted to know if our friends would think it's funny.
Right, yeah, okay.
And so we said, we'll tell those jokes later on the radio.
Uh-huh, right.
And we can get some sort of an idea. Michael, would you like to?
No.
Why not?
Well, the one joke I laughed. I don't think it's that funny. But
the first one or the second one?
The second one. The first one I thought was pretty funny, but I don't remember it as well.
Oh, brother.
So, yeah.
Okay, so the first one, I want to give a warning here for national... You may be insulted by this.
Okay, right.
But just remember, this is a French guy.
Right, yeah.
In France.
Yeah, we didn't make up this joke, people.
So there are two guys, and we didn't say we think it's funny.
Yeah.
So there are two guys outside and sit on a street corner, and they are busking. They're not really busking. They're
right. They're panhandling. Right. They got their
right,
signs.
Exactly. They're panhandling.
Yeah.
And the one is getting coins.
Right. He's got his cup of coins there.
Right. And the other one is getting bills.
Yeah. Right. He's getting the paper money. Yeah.
Right.
He's doing pretty good.
And so at the end of the day, the guy looks at his coins and he's like, well, whatever. And he looks over at the other guy and sees that he's got mad fat stacks of euros, right?
Right, yeah.
And so coin guy says, how did you get so much money? And he said, punchline, please.
I don't remember.
Oh, my God. You're such a liar.
No, I don't really remember.
It says,
didn't the guy with the bills ask the guy with the coins first?
Well, see, now
I don't remember how the joke went. Now,
how the joke went is that the guy with the bills had a sign that says, "Please give me 10 euros to send me back to Romania, so I can go back to Romania."
Yeah,
that's the joke, people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And well, as you saw, Michael totally remembered it.
Anti-Romanian sentiment.
Well,
or something.
Insert
really,
the joke of your choice. You know,
Right, so I can go back to America. That might be more appropriate.
That's what we should have. Yeah. That's what we should say.
Yeah.
Go so back it can to be America. A self-deprecating joke.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel this is a French deprecating joke.
I see. Okay.
Because it's terrible.
Yeah, right.
B, it's rude.
Right. Oh, two really good qualifiers
and
there.
C, it's just...
It's
a deus ex machina, which I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that.
Well.
Which brings me to the next joke.
Okay.
So, but this one I can make timely. There's a guy in France who's got the COVID.
He's got the COVID. Oh, no.
And he can't taste or smell anything.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
And there's a woman who has a vagina that smells like onions.
She's got a bit of a personal problem there, I guess. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say that's a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And so she's had a difficulty. Again, I am quoting the French.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Quote, finding a man.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Now, in this case, it would be tough to find anyone who would enjoy that, maybe.
Right.
Unless, never mind, I'm not going there.
Okay.
Anyway, so... These two people meet and they end up having sex.
Okay, yeah.
And then afterwards, they're sitting there smoking their cigarettes or their Gauloises.
Okay, yeah.
Their post-coital cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And the man says to the woman, "Wow, your vagina smells like onions."
Uh-huh.
And she says, "Oh my God, how do you know? I thought you couldn't smell or taste anything because of COVID."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And he said, "Because my eyes are watering."
Yeah, there you go.
Don't you have a rim shot something?
No. Whatever. I don't have
So I'm very sorry. But I did promise our friend.
You did tell him that we would do it, yeah.
Right.
So.
And he is waiting to hear how freaking hilarious you think all that is.
We're going to tell him how funny our friends thought those jokes were.
I am so embarrassed. And then the thing that happens is, too, he reminds me of some very annoying television character.
Okay.
And I can't think who it is, but who's kind of going, it's funny, right?
Right. Yeah. And then he says it's funnier in French.
Yeah.
Or it's just, or it's as funny in French, or, you know, yeah. It's usually funnier in French.
But it's
probably not fun.
Anyway.
Yeah. It must be funnier in French.
You know, they were supposed to be here in June.
Yeah. They were going to come do a big, big trip across. Cross the pond and go, what, Canada, and come visit around here and go a couple other places, right?
Well, of course, that had to be canceled because of the thing. And now they're telling us they've changed it to 2021.
Okay, yeah.
My guess is that it's still going to be problematic in some way.
Yeah, it might very well be. Especially around here if people don't wear their masks. Right?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Wear your mask. You want this all to stop and go back to normal? Put your damn mask on.
You know what's making me just insane today?
Masks?
That guy in the White House.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Who went on a rampage over the weekend about opening the schools.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We gotta do that, right?
Right. Now we understand that Barron's school will remain closed.
Right. Until the late fall. That's where they're now talking about.
Earliest. Maybe,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe right before Christmas.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen.
No, not likely.
I know the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not going to open in late fall. It's not. At any rate, what I say is hashtag Barron first.
Oh, okay.
I think
there
as
you go.
Soon as Trump is ready to send his kid to school.
You know what? That seems reasonable. I like this idea.
Then he can say, all right,
right.
The rest of you. Get up and go to school.
Yeah, all y'all get out there.
Yeah.
My boy's in school.
My boy's risking his life.
That's right.
I'm so tired of this whole thing.
Well, I think it's really going to end soon, I think. You know, I think the election is going to be something. Certainly, I'm voting.
Voting?
Yep.
Well,
I'm a voting.
I'm a voting, too. I've already got my absentee ballot. And I urge everyone out there to get one if you don't have one yet.
Right.
In case you don't have to use it.
Right. Yep.
But let's say the COVID situation gets worse and you don't want to go to a crowded place.
Right. Exactly.
To cast your vote.
A bunch of,
get the darn absentee ballot. Go online. It'll tell you for your state. What to do. It's like four questions.
It's really nothing.
It's nothing.
Now, of course, if you're in Massachusetts and you are already a registered voter, by law, they had to send you an application in the mail for mail-in voting because of, you know, the virus.
I haven't received that.
That's because you already sent yours back.
Did you receive one?
I did. Yes. And then I filled it out and sent it back. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, please do that. It takes no time.
Yeah.
It's so important. Just do that. I don't know how to, every week, what do I try to say? It's been fabulous.
It's been so great. Yeah. Well, we've had pretty nice weather. So,
well, that's
you know,
the thing. Yeah. Hot weather.
Yeah.
Is okay with me.
Right. Pool weather. It's, you know, get in the pool, get in the water weather, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing I want to say about this whole thing with people freaking out because it's summer and they should be allowed to have a beer with 75 of their closest unmasked friends.
Right. Yep.
get over it.
Right.
You're going to have to give this summer a pass. It's That's not right. happening.
Nope.
And just stop it.
Well, and by doing what you're doing, you're just making it last longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Give up.
I guess there was a boat out in New York Harbor or at the pier or something that had a huge party. And I think it was Pier 36. Had a huge party, no masks, all this booze and stuff. And they went in and arrested them.
Yeah.
So, you know, because there are laws now, people.
Yeah, it's not even Man. The laws. And I mean, you look at, right, where was it you were telling me that they've had like 300 cases?
Korea? South Korea has had,
300 it, deaths or something.
301 deaths as of yesterday.
Compared to 155,000 we have here.
Right.
Oh, Michael's chiming in.
Yeah, chiming in.
It's great that you do that at least.
It's good, right? I like it.
It is very good.
Yeah.
Instacart.
Uh-huh.
Boy. I want to speak to you.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Hello. yeah. You Who better is... talk to these people.
Okay. So Instacart is great and horrible. The great part is that if you are like us and you are really, really being strict about isolation.
Yeah. Right.
You need to get your groceries delivered.
Yeah.
We can't go into grocery stores. That's just not, we're not doing that.
No.
So Instacart offers delivery from our two big grocery stores. We got Stop Right. and Shop, we got Shaw's. Stop and Shop has been a little problematic a few times, so we've been sticking with Shaw's.
Yeah.
And lately, it's been just the past week or two, it's gotten very crazy.
Yeah, maybe it's the heat or something. I don't know. Something is up, though. Something is really
Well, I mean, on weird. Sunday, we ordered, I don't know, it was a medium-sized order. It was not a lot
right.
of stuff. And one of the things we ordered was a bag of flour, a 5-pound bag of flour. Right. So definitely the largest, heaviest thing in the order.
Uh-huh.
And the very charming person who shopped for us, our shopper, dropped off our bags minus flour.
Right. Well, you know, and the other thing was, while they were doing the order, they didn't have that particular brand. So right. they had to switch brands.
And I was offered.
And we're like, okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And it's on our receipt and the whole thing.
Yep, but it never made it here.
Then we had a real stunod who refused to answer any of the texts.
Right, yeah.
Which is a new game that some Instacart shoppers like to play. We've figured out that there are like Instacart tricks.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, when your job is grocery shopping for someone else who is watching your progress online, I mean, who wants to do that?
Right. Who really wants to do
that? So when they pick up the blueberries, right, you wanted, and let's say they don't have that kind for that price, and they pick something else that's half the amount for the same price.
Yeah,
you have
right,
to say,
yeah.
no, I don't approve.
Yeah, sorry, don't want
and
those.
And then give them another option.
Yeah.
And this can become very complicated. So there are the people who are attentive, who pay attention to your messages, and who are willing to, if they tell you they're out of something, they're willing to look for something else.
Right, and they may even send you a picture of the shelf and say, right. look, this is what is available.
This is what there is. What do you want?
Yeah, just give me an idea of what you want, and
then
I'll
get there's it. The guy we had a week ago who was, I'm not answering your questions, and I am not bringing you anything.
Right. I'm going to bring you 3 of the 15 items you ordered.
And the least, the things you need the least. Yeah. Nothing you can have for dinner.
No, of course not.
So
some Ziploc bags.
Right.
a box of crackers and some soda.
Right. There exactly. Just yeah. ridiculous. Woo-hoo! Ridiculous little group of things.
Yeah.
And then there was a box of strawberries that were so unripe, they were half white.
Yeah.
And was... hard as little rocks.
Yep.
And anyhow, so I ended up with something like a 22. I had to get on the horn with Instacart and say, okay, look.
Yeah. We got pralines.
The problem is, and of course, the customer service person I'm speaking to is saying, yes, we realize you ordered blueberries,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't bring you any. And we realize you ordered fish, but they said they were out of it and they didn't bring you any. And I said, here's my problem with all of that. I have to buy those things now.
Right.
And I have to pay a tip. And another service fee.
Right, of course, yeah.
It's not like, you know, you do have to pay extra for each delivery.
Right, yeah.
You have to tip and service fee.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but I finally did annoy her into giving me like a $25 credit.
Right. Well, and she should have because we were missing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but I mean... But meanwhile, this guy is like, I'm getting the notes that say, we are out of cod.
Yeah.
And so I'm desperately writing, please check if there's haddock.
Right. Or hey, is there a nice piece of salmon?
No response.
I know, nothing.
No response. And then, cha-ching, your shopper has checked out. I'm so tired of this. And God knows this should be my worst problem, and it's definitely not.
No.
But I'm exhausted. I'm tired of making my own jardinera.
Uh-huh.
I'm tired of all of my meal ideas. And I don't even know why. We did get a DoorDash.
We did? Oh, my goodness. That turned out really good,
right? Gift certificate.
Yeah.
Yes, I got one for my birthday.
Yeah.
We used it at Old Yarmouth Inn. And that dinner was really, really good.
That was really yummy. Yeah.
I got glazed scallops with basil risotto.
Yep. That was good.
Michael got meat and potatoes.
Meat and taters, yeah.
Yep. And it was really, really very good.
It was very, yeah.
So.
Boy, it's been a long, and it's been really been a long time since we've had, like, restaurant food.
Well, we were super lucky because two people gave us meals, restaurant meals, for my birthday.
Right.
We got Chillingsworth and Old Yarmouth Inn.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, yes, amazing.
It did two things.
We had two fantastic meals,
mm-hmm.
but also two painful reminders of what life was like.
Right.
Of what it could be like.
Mm-hmm.
And of how our meals have become.
Yeah.
We have like three things and we rotate between them.
We kind of do.
And then a lot of nights we say, ugh, forget it. Let's have pizza and salad.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's pretty good though.
Anyhow, what did you say? It's the perfect food. It's got vegetables. Yeah,
right.
That's hilarious.
Hey,
protein and carbs.
Yeah, there you go.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pizza. When the vegetable is sauce,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do know. That doesn't count.
Well, I count grains.
That's like
as
when George Bush made ketchup a vegetable.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay. You're part of that conspiracy.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I am. Right.
Yep, you are.
Mm-hmm. But you could put vegetables on pizza also, which we do quite often.
Yes, which I do.
Yeah.
And but
peppers and onions and, you know, and stuff like that.
You know
that's
what you
good.
Need, though? You need a big serving of broccoli. You need a big serving of snap peas, of green.
Right.
I don't know. It's
yeah, but
true.
Not on your pizza.
It's true what they but on the side.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And those of you who know, What can I say?
Yeah, right.
I am fascinated to know who Michael thinks should replace Ellen if Ellen gets replaced.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know if people know about this, but there is this controversy with Ellen DeGeneres, and in which she is being portrayed as not a very nice person, and that the environment around the show was pretty toxic for a lot of people.
And I agree. I think she's an absolute sadist.
I think she is. I do think she has a mean sort of sensibility, which
she's
you see
sadistic.
when they do those games. And she even has the show, Ellen's Game of Games, and she is trying to torture people.
Well, and she the way she loves scaring people.
Right, Andy, that poor guy, her producer.
No, but her guests, how she'll have someone suddenly pop out of the coffee table.
Yeah, I know, it's awful.
She takes so much delight.
Yes, and I agree, and it has made its way into the being of the show there, and people are feeling some people are feeling pretty lousy about it.
Well, I got to tell you, when I got really turned off by her was when she did that special a year ago called Relatable.
Right.
And proved that she has indeed become a billionaire who is completely unrelatable.
Absolutely not relatable.
And has nothing in common with anyone except Porsche anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So I really lost. I lost my Ellen.
Well, yeah. So there have been these complaints from staff and everybody on the show, and then the producers have come out and they have said, you know what? It's us. This is our fault. Which, you know, okay, they're trying to take the hit for Ellen or whatever. But there's been rumors that she may just give up the gig.
I hope so.
And then we saw yesterday or the day before that there are people being considered to take that spot.
Well, the one that I saw the most buzz about on Twitter was James Corden.
Right. The late show guy.
Who I guess also has a reputation for being kind of a D.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so anyway, I don't think that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never given me that vibe, but I started to think about who would I really like.
Right. Okay.
To see.
Yeah.
Who would you really like to see?
Well, I've told you before, my favorite television guy in that realm, the talk show guys, is Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
He is my favorite one. But he hates TV now ever since he did his television show.
Right.
So he's not likely to come back and do that. I love Conan, who is also absolutely hilarious, but I don't think he'll give up where he's at either, where he has complete control and he can pretty much say what he wants to say. You know, that not a lot of, there's less censorship on TBS than there is on,
he could certainly, I mean, Ellen's set, I think, is next door.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At first I was thinking, oh, he'd have to move, he'd have to this. He wouldn't really have to do much, but it's hard to tell if Conan is happy with the gig now and just wants to, I don't know, who knows?
Well, you know, over the past few years, they have Conan's show has changed in a huge way. It went from 90 minutes or to an hour or to a half hour now.
And there's no band.
And actually, I thought that was going to be a weird format, but it's turned out pretty good.
Well, it's turned out to be really good for these times
for this
now.
Particular time, it's turned
because
out really good. Yeah,
his COVID shows are amazing.
Yeah, they've been great.
Yeah, he's
so
he knows
I wouldn't
how
mind
to do
that,
it.
But I don't think he'll do it either.
Well, I came up with two people that I think would be perfection.
Okay, all right.
My first runner-up is Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany, yeah. She is so funny.
And she's so charming and personable and hilarious, and she's curious.
Yeah.
You know, she'd be a good person. And
yeah,
she's done
bubbly,
some...
She's fun.
She's done, like, kids say the darndest things. I mean, she's done some kind of talk show-ish stuff. So it's not completely out of her wheelhouse. So I would love to see Tiffany Haddish. She's also Jewish. But anyway, the one that I would love to see, my number one pick, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. I think that would be great. I love her.
She is so funny. Even though it's a horrible film, we watched Identity Theft.
Right, yeah.
Because I need me more Melissa McCarthy.
Right, yeah. And it was a horrible movie indeed.
And Heat and Spy and Bridesmaids.
Heat is one of the funniest movies
ever.
That dialogue, Melissa's dialogue in that movie is roll on the floor funny.
Well, her delivery.
Yeah.
Is just incredible. Her delivery in Spy.
Yes.
Is she's so naturally funny.
Yeah, I agree.
And she's a great physical comedian. And she'd be perfect. And that's who I want.
Yeah, I would really like to see that.
She's my dream show host. And let someone else earn all the money. You know, Rosie did that, and I have a lot of respect for her for saying, did she earn a billion? I don't know. Insane amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yep.
And she said, you know, I had my chance. I did my show, and it was however many years, 7 years or something.
Right, yeah.
And I'm going to move on and do other things and... You know, let someone else have a chance.
Right.
You know, sit in the driver's seat and earn the dollars.
I think that's pretty cool, really. I loved her show.
I did too.
Yeah, I thought her show was really pretty great.
But it's very strange now, for me anyway, to picture her in some of the get-ups they had her wearing.
Uh-huh.
In like, with her hair in a flip.
Yes,
and a ton of makeup, and in like a long sort of Bob Mackie kind of spangled dress. When she's interviewing Tom Selleck, especially, or Tom Cruise, you know, it's just incredible to go back and see some of the weirdness that happened on that show. Nonetheless, she's great because she knows every song, every performer, everything. She's seen every movie. She's one of these people that is obsessed by entertainment.
Yeah.
And so she's got she knows what questions to ask. She's seen you play. She's seen you.
Right. She saw the commercials you did in the 70s.
And she's no longer in the running, so why am I saying?
Yeah, I don't know. But
anyhow, I'm all for Melissa.
Yeah, okay. All right. I like it. I like that idea a lot.
Schitt's Creek wrapped it up.
Okay.
They had their final season. I think it was 7.
Right.
And Catherine O'Hara, among, I think, others in that cast, got Emmy nominations. And I had watched the first episode of the first season, whenever that was, 7 years ago.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to love this. And I didn't.
We did not. Neither one of us did.
Never went back to it until this past weekend.
Yeah.
Because someone said to me, I don't remember who it was, no. You need to start over.
Which is something I've had to tell
people about The Wire.
Right. Good point.
And about Homeland, about a few things. Who said, I watched the first one. Anyway, I'm addicted.
Okay.
And it is so... Oh, Catherine O'Hara is a genius.
She really is, yeah. She's and that character is...
Her acting...
So odd.
It's so perfect.
Yeah.
Her crazy, you know, has been. She's sort of like a Susan Lucci.
Right, yeah. Type. Former famous soap opera star.
Right. TV star of some kind who now, now it's gone. The career is gone. Anyway, Eugene Levy is, what can I say? But what impresses me the most about Eugene is, well, there's two things. One is he and his brother wrote that show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I think, wow, that writing this show, I mean, the writing is just brilliant. The writing is really the whole thing.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, the acting, the people in it do their roles really well.
But without those lines,
yeah,
you know, it's not like they don't hold up on their own. The people, the cast, they've got the most incredible show. It's a CBC show. I didn't realize that. It's Canadian. I didn't realize that it was produced by the CBC. So, and also Eugene is not playing a Jewish nebbish.
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing, you know, like the Christopher Guest movies.
Right.
You know, where he's like cross-eyed, the cross-eyed dentist,
or
the buck-toothed guy with literally two left feet.
Right. No, this guy knows what he wants.
He's successful businessman.
He's got a vision. He knows how he wants to get there, and life keeps happening.
And he's very handsome.
Yep.
He doesn't have some stupid accent.
Right.
He's being himself.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. And some of the stuff that they wrote for him is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love it when he walks into a room or is on the phone and he sees or hears something upsetting, disturbing, something that he wants to stop. He says, "Oh, oh, oh." He just says, it's just a loud "oh." And it happens to be, it was such a smart choice. I don't know if it was his choice or if it was in the script that way, but anyway. They're all adorable Canadians doing brilliant comedy show. So if you haven't seen it, watch it. And if you have and you didn't like it, write to.
Maybe you should give it another try.
Write
How about
to that? Dr. Scarves.
Huh.
care of the CDC.
Yeah.
Dr. Scarves.
Dr. Scarves, yes.
I want to say here and I want to say now, from the first time I saw her standing behind Trump and Fauci and the Surgeon General and the whole task force was there. Back in March.
Yeah.
And
way back then.
Was standing there looking, gazing at him with the most sycophantic smile and this simpering deference to him. And since that moment, I said, this woman is not okay. I also hate the scarf thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the scarf thing is a little excessive.
It's so over the top.
Those are not $10 scarves.
No, they're $500 scarves, $250. They're Hermes scarves. They're whatever the hell they are.
Yeah.
Laura Piana, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And they are
Gucci.
So ostentatious.
Yeah.
And I think for anyone to, and if she had, like, say, a wardrobe of five scarves that she rotated occasionally.
Right.
That would be a different thing. I've never seen her wear the same scarf twice.
Yeah, that's the problem right there.
And
endless supply.
It is so ostentatious. It is so self-conscious. It is so, also, it gives such a 50s vibe. You know what I mean? She doesn't seem like a modern woman with pandemic knowledge.
Right. No, I understand. Yeah, you see her right
she
there.
She looks so dowdy.
Yep.
And she looks like Trump's vision of the perfect mother.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, he would never want to be with someone that close to his age.
She's at least 50 years too old for him. 60.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah. She's at least 40 years too old for him. Possibly 50.
Really. Yeah.
Maybe. But she's, I find her objectionable on so many levels.
Well, now, isn't she now objectionable to her boss as of today?
Well, as of yesterday, or it was earlier Monday morning,
yeah.
He said she's pathetic.
Right.
Because she agreed with Fauci on some. Oh, no, she agreed with Nancy Pelosi on something.
Oh, well, there you go. See, you know, that's
so
what
now
does
she's
it right there.
Now she's pathetic.
Yeah, and well, you are. It happens.
I just hope that she. I don't know. I want her to kind of fade away into the background.
Yeah.
Or get a grip. Do your work, and stop with the outfits, yeah. The pearls. I can't. I can't
well,
stand
you know,
it.
I want the I want the entirety of the CDC to just go back to what they were doing. You know, I want to please let us get back to the point to where we don't have to hear from the CDC anymore.
I think
that would be pretty good.
I think that impetus is so irrelevant at this point, and that the more of us who treat him as such. Which is happening naturally.
Yeah.
It's thing where if that noise is on 24/7 for long enough at the same level, you stop hearing it.
Right.
And that's what has happened. And screeching all day long. He's also played golf for more than a quarter of his presidency. He has spent more than a year.
Yeah.
Of these 4 years on the freaking golf course, he wears Pampers. He can't walk. He goes to the hospital all the time with hiding files and newspaper. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange, isn't it?
And he does remind me, and I say this with all of the respect. The concern and the dignity that he deserves, like someone who's dying.
Right.
He does appear to be shuffling literally off the mortal coil.
Yeah, well, okay.
What? You sound disappointed.
Well, what's the trick then?
The trick, William Potter, is not minding that it hurts.
It was Peter O'Toole's birthday. Over the weekend.
How about that? Yeah.
And the trick is not minding that it hurts.
That's right.
It's one of my favorite lines from any movie. And it's one of my favorite things to say.
Yeah.
On a daily basis. You know, when someone says, hey, Anne, how are you? The trick is not minding that it hurts.
There you go.
I'm fine.
You're great. You're doing great.
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah. So... another thing over the weekend happened. Fortunately, most things happen on the weekend, so I have much to tell you on Tuesday
morning.
That's
nice, yeah.
My hair...
oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. This is on you anyway.
Yeah, I know.
Not really. My hair has gotten very long.
Yeah.
And at first, that was a COVID symptom. And then... it turned into, which is probably another COVID symptom, I want to see how long I can grow my hair.
Right. You're right. Yeah. Now you're going in in a different direction.
Now I'm heading towards, I want to look more Mormon, more.
Yep. Right.
More turn of the century.
More Holly Hobby.
Anne Boleyn's hair was so long she could sit on it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going for an Anne Boleyn.
Yeah, all right.
Kind of, you know, whatever.
I knew somebody with hair like that.
So do we both.
Oh.
And we shall not mention.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know someone who, and it took her until she was 50 something to cut the hair that was past her butt.
Right.
And, ooh, that was not a good look.
Yeah, I went to high school with two girls who could sit on there. It was down to the back of their knees, both of them. They were sisters.
That's not a good look.
Beautiful, gorgeous red hair.
Well, see, cut off just a foot of it and give it to Locks of Love.
The youngest, actually, of these two sisters actually did that, yeah.
You know, you can get it out from under your butt crack.
Okay.
That's my feeling about hair.
All right, yeah, all right.
You know, if you have hair that's growing down into it or up out of it, get rid of it.
Get rid of it. All right.
That is today's beauty tip.
I like it.
From the Ann Levine
I really like it.
I do, too.
This is useful information.
So here we are in the beauty, in our beauty segment.
Yeah.
And my hair... I complained about my roots.
Yep, yeah.
Probably in April. And Michael and I did a test thing.
Right, yeah.
I have Michael help me because unless you're doing all over color, trying to do highlights is impossible on your own.
On yourself, yeah.
So, and I was doing very light highlights on hair that... in some places, is brown.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a while for it to lift to almost platinum.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, we did the thing. We waited the time. I washed it, dried it, and I now have, how shall I say this? I'm going to call it platinum leopard.
Yeah, that's or platinum leopard.
Lemon leopard, maybe.
Lemon leopard is good.
It's a weird thing because I have strands of hair, not just strands. You can grab a little, like a hank of my hair, and it goes starting from the roots, light blonde, very pale blonde, brown. Light brown.
Yeah.
I mean, there are actually gaps. It's like a broken line on the street.
Right, yeah.
That's my hair. And I don't care. I'm not going anywhere. The awesome part is, after it was all done, the first thing Michael said to me was, "That looks really weird." which was just... so inspirational.
Yeah, I know, but
and
it
then,
did look very leopardy to begin with.
But I mean, then
less so now.
I said, "Well, wait a second. Let's reframe that. Let's put that in a different way. Does it look better?" At which point he said, "Oh, no comparison. It's a huge improvement."
Yeah, it's much better than what it was.
So really weird looks better than whatever it was before.
Right.
So,
which was kind of, you know, it was kind of half and half, right? You know,
well, the roots were
had gotten to like
long.
The top of your ears. So you
that
know,
is was, not true. Well,
okay.
I mean, I wish that were true. It would have grown like 6 inches in the last 3 months. That's not quite what happened, but it looked terrible. And So anyway, I looked this up, and this is the consensus from the hair dyeing world.
Okay.
Which is, you got two options.
All right. When you got lemon leopard hair.
Here are your options.
Two options.
You can either, if you need it to be patched up and fixed within, you can't stand it, or you've got to go to something where this hair wouldn't be appropriate, whatever it is, get a darker color, do an all over. And
then come back and do it again.
And then whatever. You're done, or you could try it again at some point. But what most of them recommend, all of them actually, is you wait 3 or 4 weeks and you do keratin masks and you do coconut oil and you do everything you can do to condition your hair and strengthen it and let it recover from the bleaching job, and then you do it again.
Yeah, okay.
So once again, this is the third time since March, I have a box of platinum level 2.
Oh, yeah.
Rawr.
On the way.
On the way.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's going to be my Labor Day hairstyle this year. And I know you're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be wearing...
Does that count for your hair?
I was just going to say, I don't care. Nothing counts for anything anymore, does
it? Well, I guess that's true. I mean, yeah. who's going to see it anyway?
Really? No one.
Me.
And I also don't care.
They're pretty cute.
Who's going to... I don't care.
Uh-huh.
That's the part that I'm thinking has gotten... You know how I love to buy clothing?
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. And, you know, I'd buy clothing every day if I could.
Okay, sure.
Until COVID. And now I have something that I call a therapy blouse.
Yeah.
And other than t-shirts and swimwear, swimsuits and rash guards and water shoes,
mm-hmm.
I wear t-shirts, pajama bottoms, and that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
Except when I have Zoom therapy mm-hmm. or a Zoom meeting.
Right.
And then I have...
Then you have a therapy blouse.
I have a therapy blouse.
Yeah.
And I have two therapy shifts.
Yeah.
Like t-shirt dresses that I throw on.
Yeah.
When I don't want to have what I have on today, for instance, which is a 2019 Year of the Pig t-shirt.
Right, yeah. That's a big deal. Yeah.
You know, or whatever, or a Tel Aviv University t-shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
And for reasons I don't need to go into, these are things I don't wish to wear in therapy.
Huh.
Not yet. I'm not there. I may be by Christmas. Who the hell knows?
Okay.
So the therapy blouse, that is the only thing I look at anymore. I look at shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I really prefer, I like shirts. And when I say shirt, I mean button front.
Ah, okay.
Or three-quarter button front with a placket and a collar.
Okay. All right.
Okay? And it can be anything that strikes my fancy as far as color, pattern, anything like that.
Right, yeah.
Therapy blouse.
Okay. Yep.
And I look at, I'm going to say at least 78 therapy blouses a day. And I put them in my carts on these various online stores of stores that have still not gone out of business.
Uh-huh, right.
And like that, that's how I shop for clothes now.
Hey, I love your hair. Don't ever touch it.
So I've been thinking a lot about my father.
Okay.
In all of this time, and particularly when I see every store that he was ever in, for the most part, or that he ever had a hand in developing, like J. Crew, like The Gap.
Right.
He worked with Mickey Drexler on their fit, on their blazer, blah, 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 blah. No one knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But when I see that Neiman's, right?
Right. Neiman
bankrupt,
Marcus,
J. Crew.
Macy's.
All of these different stores are on the verge of declaring bankruptcy.
Right.
If they haven't already. I just think how glad I am that he is not here to see this.
Mm.
Because it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
This entire industry is dying. Entire industry. And I know there are other industries that are dying. I understand that.
Right, but this was one you were in. So, you know, that's it does true. Make a difference. Yeah.
And it's when I think way, way back to the behemoth that was Seventh Avenue, that was the clothing industry, right?
Yeah.
And it was this huge thing. And now it's nothing. It's nothing. So I mean, weird, you can it? Still buy disposable clothes. That's a whole different thing. Disposable wardrobes, which is what I wear. T-shirts, pajama pants, right. You know, cotton shifts, T-shirt dresses. All of that stuff is what you'd call disposable. But quality, the idea of buying a quality wool suit, and I don't care who designed it, Larry Levine or the Nazi Chanel. Who wants a Chanel suit right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
One of the most tasteless things I've ever seen took place this week on arguably the best show ever, and that's The Real Housewives of New York. The Real Housewives of New Jersey is the runner-up. But New York, New York. Rana, it's not Rana, what's her name?
Beverly?
Ramona.
Oh.
Had a birthday party for herself.
Oh, right, yeah.
For 60 women. And she had each one of them as the gift, give her $100 towards a Gucci bag.
I know, it's insane.
And I'm just, that just floored me. What can I say? Oh, the humanity. People, it's time for us to say, see you next week on The Ann Levine Show, when it will be April 11th. Or August 11th, if you're right. Really paying attention.
Which is a day, a significant day.
In what sense?
In that Simon will be two.
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course. We'll talk about grandchildren, presents, children. We'll talk about all of that next week. In the meantime, to each and every one of you, get a copy of O Magazine with Breonna Taylor on the cover. And for Breonna, please put a light on. She will not promise everything. It's a load she cannot bear. But her beauty points beyond the spring to the pattern of love everywhere. And the temperature will rise and light will fill the skies. So you fade before our eyes. Let me once more remember days went by too fast. So I slowed down the time and played in my mind. One by one they came, never to the same. A light unseen before, nor Magnolia.